Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Does Midwestern history get the attention it deserves? A South Dakota historian doesn't think so and is working to elevate the status of Midwestern history on the national stage. Let's go in depth with John Lauck, author of The Lost Region, toward a revival of Midwestern history from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Well, John, you have a remarkable new book out, The Lost Region, and I'll let you talk to me a little bit about that here in a moment, but could you give us some of your background? You're not a traditional academic, are you?
Well, I went to grad school. I went the traditional route, got my PhD in history from the University of Iowa. Then I went to law school, University of Minnesota, so I was definitely staying in the Midwest, and then I went to work at a law firm for 3 or 4 years or whatever it was. And then I went into academia because, you know, through a weird bit of circumstances, there was this opening for a job. So I did that for a few years. And then a friend of mine got elected to the U.S. Senate. You can't say that very often, but he did. And asked me to go to work for him, working on policy and communications and stuff. So that's what I'm doing right now.
And you live in South Dakota?
I live in South Dakota.
Well, and you have
a farm near Madison, South Dakota, which is kind of the southeast corner of the state, not too far from Iowa, probably about an hour from Iowa. But I live in Sioux Falls, which, you know, is only a few miles from northwest Iowa.
Well, and your book is, I don't know, I just got all caught up in it. It's The Lost Region. What's the subtitle?
Toward a Revival of Midwestern History.
That's pretty cool. I mean, we Midwesterners are pretty humble. We don't like to brag a lot about ourselves. We're not, you know, like Texans or people from New York or something like that. But what you're saying is that there might be a lot of historical forces behind this, but that Midwestern history plays a role much bigger than is conventionally thought. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the Midwest has been a central region to American development. It determined the course of American history. It helped spark the American Revolution that set in motion all of these events that led to the expansion of the United States. It tipped the balance in the Civil War in favor of the North rather decisively, which, of course, had a extremely important impact on American history. Maybe no other event is more important than the Civil War. It created an environment where American ideals could flourish. It allowed for democracy and democratic practices to grow and spread very successfully, because in this new area of the country, in the Midwest, you didn't have these lingering aristocratic forces that you had on the coasts in both the North and the South. And in the West, there was always a very strong egalitarian tradition. And so that's why in places like Iowa, for example, it's very small D, democratic. People can get involved. Elites don't control the politics. And there are these forms of populism that continue to operate here, which are much weaker in other parts of the country.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John Lauck, author of The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History.
Why do you think that we're sort of an overlooked region, the lost region, as you suggest?
Well, I think you put your finger on it, Bob, when you talk about the fact that Midwesterners tend to be a bit more humble and a little less boastful than other parts of the country. I also think that there's just been a failure of leadership in certain areas in the Midwest. University of Iowa, for example, they don't offer a course in Midwestern history or courses in Iowa history, and they don't have people on faculty who are experts in this area. That's a major failing by a major institution in the Midwest. And by comparison, at the University of Georgia, just to pick another institution in a different region, they have 10 people on staff who teach Midwestern history or teach Southern history and teach the history of Georgia. And so we haven't done a very good job in the Midwest in terms of tracking our own history.
Well, I have to ask, you know, is it just the humble nature, or, I mean, what, there's got to be something else going on.
Well, I think one of the problems was that we had a very strong tradition of writing about the region in the early 20th century, and it continued up until about World War II, and this is what I talk about in the book, this earlier school of history, which I call the Prairie Historians, who studied the Midwest and its development. But about the time of World War II, some of these key historians either died or retired or moved away to California, and no one picked up the mantle. No one continued the tradition, and everyone got distracted with other things. And so we didn't keep these institutions going. And in the 1960s, when there was once a big society that studied Midwestern history, an academic society, it changed its mission into a national organization. So it focused on all of American history. So the Midwest was left without any venue for studying the region, unlike other places where, you know, they're very active. There's a Journal of Southern History, and there's a Western Historical Quarterly, and there's a New England Quarterly, which are still very active. But unfortunately, this has not happened in the Midwest. And I think it's important to spotlight that. And hopefully people, legislators and leaders and regents in places like Iowa will begin to say, you know what, we need to demand more of this from our universities because they're failing on this front.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John Lauck, author of The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History.
Many of us that are even casual students of history will have heard the name Frederick Jackson Turner. You talk about him a little bit in your book. What was his role and what changed with him and more recent response to him?
Frederick Jackson Turner was a young man who grew up on the Wisconsin frontier in the mid-19th century. And he became interested in history and civics, and so went on to get a PhD in history in the East, of course, because that's where you did it then, at Johns Hopkins. And one of the first things he noticed was that everyone there was focused on the East, the Northeast, and Europe, and ancient history, and no one talked about his region. So he took it upon himself to try and build up a school of history that actually chronicled life in the Midwest. And he was very successful at this, developed a number of followers at places like the University of Iowa, for example. And he built up this school of history, and it became very strong. And they formed a society to study Midwestern history. So he really is the father of Midwestern history. Unfortunately, he died in the 1930s, and he was never really replaced, and the organization studying Midwestern history ultimately petered out. But he, without question, a son of a small town in Wisconsin, Portage, was the leader of the field, and he's still very much worth reading if you have the time.
Well, and did his work fall into disfavor, or his position statements? Or
yes, one of the things that Frederick Jackson Turner ran into was a lot of opposition. Beginning in the 1930s, Marxist historians began to attack him for focusing too much on the frontier and the development of the western regions of the United States and not focusing enough on class conflict. This opposition grew in later years, and it I suppose you could say it peaked in the 1980s with what was called the New Western History, which was basically premised on rejecting Frederick Jackson Turner and his writings. And so he became a very much abused figure and lost his standing in the profession, and it just became the hip thing to do is to attack Frederick Jackson Turner. Now, of course, he wasn't perfect, but he did a tremendous amount to bring attention to the region, and his writings really deserve to be considered in a good faith way. And I hope with this book, after people learn a little bit more about Jackson or Frederick Jackson Turner and his writings, that they'll give them a second look and they'll begin to focus on what he had to say about the Midwest.
Well, it sounds like a little bit to me that you might be trying to step a little bit into his shoes.
Well, I think that's hard to do because he is such a major figure and had so much influence on the profession during his time. And I'm just a guy in Sioux Falls tapping away at my keyboard, trying to get people to pay a little bit more of attention to the Midwest and a little less attention to the Kardashians and Miley Cyrus and all the other ridiculous things that filter through our culture, unfortunately.
Well, good luck with that. What's been the response to your book? Has everybody been sort of, is it still too early, or has everybody been as excited as I am about it?
Well, Bob, I've been very happy with the response so far. The book was released on December 1st, and the early reviews and the early interviews and the early callers to radio shows I've done have been very positive. I haven't heard too many complaints. In fact, I haven't heard any complaints. I'm sure there'll be some once the book is distributed more broadly and there are more reviews from experts, etc. But at the end of the day, it's pretty hard to argue with the basic point of my book, which is that the American Midwest has been completely neglected or almost completely neglected by historians in the last 50 years. I don't think anybody can get up and make a strong case that Midwestern history is a thriving field of study. So from that point of view, I think people will be convinced by the argument. I think the key question is what comes next? Will people act? Will they begin to address the problem? And will they begin to support more work in Midwestern history? We'll see.
Well, if you look at it, say, from the big picture, if as a consequence of your work that people start relooking at Midwestern history, then they're going to have to start rewriting American history in general, aren't they?
That's a very good point, because right now, the way history is done, it's far too focused on just a few events and a few groups. And if people expand their vision a little bit to include what happened in other parts of the country, in not small parts of the country, vast swaths of the country, I think they'll have a different view on what's taken place. And they may even have a better sense of context for current events that are happening. And they may, I think, come away with a deeper respect and appreciation for what happens in other parts of the country. And maybe they'll begin to pay a bit more attention to the history and the literature and the culture of other parts of the country. Because right now, and perhaps you feel the same way, I am just always frustrated by where and how our culture is produced in this country. 90% of it comes from Hollywood and New York. And they have their own agenda and their own sets of interests. And these sorts of what they're interested in isn't really what people in Iowa are interested in. I mean, there's a certain amount of overlap, but these are two distinct places. And I just wish there was more culture and writing and literature and books coming from places like Iowa and a little less coming from places like Hollywood. Maybe that's a pipe dream, but I think if people are reminded that there was a day, there was a time earlier in the 20th century when there was a lot of literature and there was a lot of history and there was a lot of culture that came out of places in the Midwest where there was a very strong regionalist movement at a time, maybe they'll begin to rethink this a little bit.
And where can people find your book locally?
The book can be found at The Next Chapter in Knoxville. I know it's available there. That's the easiest place to get it. And also, it's published by the University of Iowa Press. I think you can get it from their website, too.
Well, good luck with this. This was a lot of fun to read. It made me proud to be an Iowan. I mean, I'm always proud to be an Iowan, but, you know, you really made me feel proud again.
Well, thank you, Bob, and please keep spreading the word about how good of a thing we have going here in the Midwest, and please spread the word about some of these important books that I know you are interested in about Iowa and that you've written about. It's important for people to hear about them.
Thanks to John Lauck for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.